Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Children's church this morning. I'm already ready to go, you know. And so I'm just so glad for the praise and the glory of honor that we have given Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Well, I'll tell you what, it just looks good to see this congregation begin to grow and the cold begin to move on out a little bit. Well, it's just good to be saved today. Now, ushers, would you come right now, and we're going to worship the Lord with our morning tithes and offerings. Move on for some good, wonderful, wonderful singing. Todd, lead us, please.
Thank you.
Amazing grace of God. You may be seated. I'm so glad that God is my, he's the beginning and he's the end of all this. He's our Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. I'm so glad for all that he's done for me. I love him this morning. Y'all sing it.
It is done.
mine is, God is so good. God
is so
to say in situations that some people have been in this week and saying that he answers prayers. It's kind of hard to say that, isn't it? It's kind of hard to say that he answers a prayer when there's things that you've been praying about that you really just don't want to be praying about a loved one or somebody that's gone astray. But aren't you glad, Brother Bill, he answers prayers? Miss Casey, aren't you glad he answers prayers? Amen. Amen. I love him so. Sing that.
I love him so.
Yes, we do, Lord.
I love him so.
Yes.
I love him so. He's so.
sermon's replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears. But I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As his grace rolled down upon me, undeserved, God's been.
He's been good. Brother Don just had to leave the service. Pray for him. You know what he's going through. Aren't you glad we're serving a God that is good today? How that we can come together and we can worship him. We can bear our burdens to him, and he blesses us and strengthens us through our situations that we face daily. But best of all, he went to Calvary, and he shed his blood. He died for us, that we would not have to face eternal death. Isn't it wonderful to know that one of these days we're going to be in his presence? I have been speaking the last few times that I've spoken. It's been sort of spasmodic. And I don't want to draw attention to my own little infirmities, because they're so minor compared to some of you out there. I feel ashamed. I sure am glad to know that I know the same God that you know, and he has the same healing efficacy for you as well as myself. So we just keep looking toward the cross, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the Revelation chapter 21, I've spoken a couple of times already on this subject, and what I'm doing is not a repeat, I'm just a continuation. I'm so interested in heaven. The reason that I'm interested in heaven is that's my next step. I don't know when I'm going to get there, but I do know one thing, I'm on my way. If I did not know that, I would be of all men most miserable, as the Bible says. I'm anchored in the blood. I'm headed toward heaven. And as we head toward heaven, we have that responsibility to sow it and to be a living testimony to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ each day that we live. Now, I realize that we face difficulties here. I realize that there are problems that come into our lives. There are things that come across our path that interrupt and disrupt our life. But I'm glad we're serving a God this morning that knows how to carry us through these difficult times. In the first chapter of Revelation 21, and I'm not going to read all of this because I've already dealt with most of it, but I will read the first verse. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and no more sea. This was the revelation that John received on the Isle of Patmos. Jesus Christ, as he had resurrected and ascended back, and then they gave the great apostle John this revelation. And as he pins it down, he pins it down for an encouragement. There's a gospel song that was written many years ago that titled, How Far is Heaven? Well, I've had been asked that question through many years of my ministry. How far is heaven? Well, I don't know how far is heaven, but I do know that heaven is just close enough that it's a prayer away. You see, we can touch heaven anytime we need to when we get on our knees and talk to our Heavenly Father. Isn't that wonderful? That's comforting. This morning, we've had the opportunity to pray. Last night, we had the opportunity to pray. I want to tell you, it's good to know that there's somebody listening. I love that old gospel song in the old brownback hymnal, Royal Telephone. The title of it's Royal Telephone. Central's never busy, always on the line. You can hear from heaven almost any time. You see, all you've just got to do is talk to God. And hey, his line's never busy. You know, you call somebody's number, they say, beep, 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 beep. You hang up. 15 minutes later, you call back that same number, beep, 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 beep. And so forth and so on. But hey, I want to tell you, God's line to heaven is always answering. He's always listening this morning. And so as we look at this particular verse of Scripture, and I'll not go into this verse, and I will be a little bit brief today, if you will excuse me. You know my situation. I want to say this morning, first of all, that heaven is a real place. A lot of people just, well, that's a figment of the imagination. Well, if that's a figment of my imagination, I'm going to wait till I see the reality of it. Because my Bible teaches me that Jesus Christ says that he was going away to prepare a place for us. And he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you shall be also. That's encouraging this morning. When we look around and we see all this world coming unglued, we don't know which way to go. I mean, my word, even in here in America, we can't agree on anything. The world is in a chaos. But Jesus Christ is still there. And he's holding all together. I want to tell you, dear friend, he's got the whole, there was a song that said he's got the whole world in his hands. Y'all remember boy, that dates it, doesn't it? Y'all that are nodding y'all's head tell y'all's age, too. Oh, listen, but he does have the whole world in his hands today. You see, heaven is a real place. How do we know? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us so. God's word does not lie. And Jesus Christ himself said, I go to prepare a place for you. And see, not only that, but heaven is a place of radiant beauty. It radiates. Read the description in the book of Revelation of heaven. Oh, there's never anything but sunshine. I don't know whether I don't know if there's a sun that shines. I believe it's the S-O-N that shines, not the S-U-N that shines. But you see, hey, listen, it's lighted all the time. There's never night. Some of y'all say, uh-oh, I don't know. I'll miss my sleep. Baptist. Oh, listen, I want to tell you. You say, well, now, Brother Melvin, how in the world are we going to rest? We don't need rest. We're going to have a new body. Hey, listen, did you know we're not going to have to go to a doctor? They're out of business. There's be no hospitals. They're out of business. You see? Hey, listen, heaven's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. Real place. Now, I know that people say that's the figment of the imagination. Listen, just get over it. Hey, listen, if you listen to the teaching of this world, well, I'm telling you what they have prepared for you all. They say, well, you don't go around but once, so have a good time when you're going around. You remember that beer commercial? Years ago. Well, that's dating it. That's telling how old you are if you remember that one. But they're talking about, oh, if drink this one because and have a good time because you only have a good time going around once. I want to tell you, I'm going around once down here. It's temporary. But when I get to heaven, it's going to be going around for eternity. What are we going to be doing up there? Are we going to be twiddling our thumb? I've had people say, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit by that pretty little stream of river life, and I'm just going to soak my feet in the, I'm just going to wade in that water. I'm just going to have a good time. Honey, you're not going to do that. We're going to be serving him up there. Wouldn't heaven be heaven if all we did was just sit around? Don't y'all get bored just sitting around all the time? You ladies, y'all get bored staying in the house all the time. And then if you don't have anything to do, you put dust on the floor just to sweep it. You got to have something to do. Or you have to go. So, you see, heaven is going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. Radiant. Heaven is a redeemed place. Only the blood-bought redeemed children of God are going to be there. This crowd that says there is no God is going to find out there is a God. This educated crowd that has corrupted our society is going to realize they have played the fool. And hey, listen, I want to tell you about that educated crowd. Now, I'm not against education. Don't get me wrong. I've always said, get all you can and can all you get. Get the education. Listen, I want to tell you, in the schoolhouses, they started teaching our children evolution. And evolution puts God out of the picture. And we've raised a generation of people, and they've sent them to these colleges, and they've been brainwashed in these colleges. They've been taught, there's no such thing as God. We evolved. Well, we started as a tadpole. Now, we have evolved into what we are today. We did it ourselves. Would you believe that over believing God created? No. God created everything. You see, and he has prepared a place for all the redeemed, the blood-bought children of God. And hey, he calls it heaven. Some call it heaven, but I call it home. It's a place of reunion. I could shout over that one. I've got loved ones over there. Brother Melvin, you're going to see them again. I believe that I'm going to see them again. I've got a wife over there. Mildred's got a husband over there. You've got family over there. I've got a brother over there. I've got mother and daddy's over there. Hey, listen. I know they're there because they were saved. And I'm going to be that glad reunion. Hey, you know we have reunions down here. I used to have homecomings called reunions and family reunions down here. Well, listen, there's nothing compared to that great reunion that we're going to have in heaven. It's going to be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But no, as I look over the congregation, I see faces. You that have buried your spouse, your children, family around you, your mothers, your dads. And we're sad when they go. But for a Christian, and they are a Christian, then we know we're going to see them again. It's so easy to preach a funeral of a person that has the testimony of being saved. It's easy to preach that kind of, well, we almost had a shouting spell here Friday night. Because, hey, we knew where that precious lady was. And it was just like, hey, listen, it was a rejoicing time that she was no longer suffering from that cancer. Relieved from this body. But present in the presence of God. Listen, that's going to be, heaven's going to be a reunion time. But as lost people, you need to know that heaven is close enough to reach out for salvation. It's just a prayer away. Even in sorrow, temptation, sin, we can reach out to heaven for the help that we need, my dear friend. Anytime, we can reach out to heaven. Did you know that heaven is just close as a whisper prayer? Let me say something about the whisper prayer. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. All you have to do is just call on the Lord. Seek the Lord, knock on his door and say, Lord, help me. I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to save me by your precious blood. Hey, listen, he's never turned a person away. Came seeking salvation. Look at two things here. First, God hears and answers his prayer. It's very easy to just say, Lord, would you come into my heart. There's two things in this. You see, prayer, the saying is the key to heaven. But it's faith. Your faith that unlocks the door. You see, you call on heaven with your voice and your mind and your intellect and so forth. But it's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work of Calvary that unlocks the door. Oh, listen. Well, then, let's take a look at this word. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith, listen very carefully now, so then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. And hearing by the word of God, as I've already mentioned. If you're not saved today, this is simple. This is elementary. It's not, you don't have to be a theologian to understand this. You see, it's so simple. It says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're told to search the scriptures. It says in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for you think ye have eternal life. And they are such that testify of me. Search the scriptures. They testify. If you don't know, understand, search the scriptures. The book will tell you about Jesus. That's all it takes, my dear friend. Simply put, the Bible is God's blueprint salvation. That's simply put. Couldn't put it in more simple than that. Then we go to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35. You need the compassionate, comforting hands of the Christian. When you come to Westside Baptist Church, if you're not saved, you enter into a fellowship of caring people. If you're not saved this morning, you're in the fellowship of caring people. They care about your soul. I've been to churches that seemed like when I walked in the doors, it was like an iceberg, cold and unfriendly, and felt so uncomfortable being there. But I want to tell you this morning, when you come into this fellowship, you're coming into a group, into a body, a group of people that care about you, your soul, and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35, I'll show you all the things that that so labor, and you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how that he said it, more blessed to give than to receive. You see, here in this church, we understand it's more blessed to give than to receive for ourselves. More blessed that we have a compassionate heart for those that are hurting, that have a need, than come just one to say, well, fill my cup. You see, when you help somebody else, God's going to fill your cup anyway. All God wants us to do is just be faithful servants. You say, well, Brother Melvin, I don't have any talent. Well, I'll tell you what. You see a visitor walk through those doors, you make a beeline to him, shake their hands, and say, I am so glad to see you today. You would be surprised the impact that you have made on some soul that might be searching salvation, you see. Oh, it's so important that we show ourselves friendly. Oh, listen, I want to tell you this morning, that Jesus Christ is the only way. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, mind some is, but exhorting one another, and much more as you see that day approaching. You will agree with me, without going into Bible prophecy, without going into what is happening in the United States of America right now, what is happening in the Middle East right now, on the world scene right now, China, every place, everything. You'll agree with me. This day is approaching. We are here at the door. So our time is minimal. Our time is going out. Our opportunities, the door is going to be closed. So what are we going to do about it? Brother Melvin, I've got lost loved ones. What are you doing about it? Are you inviting the house of God? Are you taking time out of your busy schedule to go by and say, I'll pick you up and carry you with me to church today? Oh, but we get so busy, we just barely get here ourselves. I mean, sometimes I hear the tires squeaking, turning into the churchyard. Yeah, here we go. Get out of my way. I got to get in, Brother Melvin. Out of the way, they're going to get on me. I'm going to be late. That's not the voice you wish, attitude we should come with. Oh, listen. In closing, heaven is just a step to the altar. Matthew records in chapter 12, verse 28 through verse 30. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Or else, how can one enter into the strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil the house? He that is not with me is against me. That's very clear. He that's not with me is against you. Ask yourself this question. Am I for God? Or am I against God? You see, when you answer yourself that question and you take personal inventory, every one of us come up a little bit lacking from the pulpit to the back door. You see, it behooves us all to check up daily and be cautious and be aware, because you see, this might be our last day. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. A lot of scattering going on today. Listen. Very seriously, man. We are just one step from death. The gas might be in the hearse that will come to pick up your body today. Brother Melvin, you're just trying to scare me. I wish I could scare you. If I could, I'd do everything under the sun. I'd do my best to scare you. But I can't scare you to salvation. I cannot scare you as a Christian to faithful living. That's between you and Almighty God. I can't do it. Brother Alton can't do it. Wonderful preacher. Brother Joe preaches. We got Brother Atkins back there. And Brother Anthony over here. We've got, and Bill preaches. We've got wonderful preaching around here. But all we can do is preach the word. But you've got to be the hearer. You've got to be the recipient of the word of God. Now you can let it go in one ear and out the other. Pass it on by. But remember, payday someday. As a born-again believer, you're going to stand before Holy God. The Bible says we are going to give an account of our stewardship. That means our daily walk, our walk as a Christian after salvation. Oh, some people think, well, I'm saved, I'm okay, I'm just going to do like I want to. I'll do this, I'll do that. I'll not have to answer. Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. See, there's going to be the white throne judgment of the lost. Those unsaved, those that are not under the blood. But for those that are under the blood, there's going to be the bema judgment of rewards. Now, you'll not be cast into the lake of fire. But you will be judged according to your walk as a believer. Every single one of you sitting under the sound of my voice in this building right now, you're saved. If you're saved, you will stand before God. And you will give an account. Well, Brother Melvin, you know, I just had some more things that was more important than God. My fun, we had to have some fun, so we just laid out of church. Hey, listen. Our family has to have some fun too, don't they? Prioritize your calendar. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Remember, you will stand before Holy God. Christ took your place at Calvary. But listen very carefully now. Though he took your place at Calvary, he cannot take your place in heaven. You will stand there before him. I've had some preachers make this statement. I think it's a little broad, a little maybe stretch a little bit, Brother Joe, I don't know. But I've heard a lot of preachers make this statement through the years. That a lot of Christians are going to barely get there with a smell of singe or smoke on the garments. Do you want to go before God that way? Is that the way you want to stand before Holy God? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Judgment begins first at the house of God. This is going to be scary. I believe every church body going to be called together when in that day of rewards. I believe all the membership through the years of Westside Baptist Church are going to be united together, grouped together, Brother Phil. Might be a little sketchy, but I believe it. And we're going to be judged. First, the pulpit's going to be judged about our preaching. Sunday school teachers are going to be judged about your faithfulness and your teaching. Youth workers, children's workers, nursery workers, about your faithfulness, about the way you talk, the attitude. I know I've failed so many times. I know there'll be things that the Lord will say to me, well, you know good and well that one the way you're supposed to do it. But I hope there's going to be enough left, Brother Joe, that I'll receive some rewards. Every head bowed, every eye closed. They're coming with a song of invitation. Going to begin to play softly on the instruments. This invitation today is going to be a little bit different. As a born-again believer, and you have searched your heart today, and ask God to reveal to you anything that's amiss and not right. You feel that you've been slack in some ways. Some things that God has shown you that you need to tighten the belt on. Would you be so graciously willing to just ease that hand up and let me pray for you today? Hands already going up all over the congregation. So we've got a church full of perfect people, except for just a small handful. Except for just a handful. You remember this one thing, God's looking down from heaven. God knows where you're at. God knows how to ring your bell. God knows how to get your attention. That's why he's got hospitals. That's why automobile wrecks happen. That's why things happen in a person's life to get their attention. Heavenly Father, about a half dozen people raise their hand. Really concerned about their life and their slackness in walking for you, just being honest and faithful to you. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you take this message this morning. I know it's been rough. But Lord, you gave it to me, and I struggled with it, didn't want to do it, but Lord, you said, this is it. Didn't even feel like physically getting up here this morning. I wanted you to let Alton preach, but God, you made me get up and do it. I've done my best to honor you now. You do the rest, because that's all I can do. I cannot do it anymore. I can do physically. Spiritually, Lord, it's in your hands. These are your people. You're the one that saved them. You're the one they're going to give an account to, not me. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.